You are listening to the Willpower Podcast. Welcome to the show. I am Will Holdren, and I talk with some of the most influential CEOs, entrepreneurial leaders, and thought leaders to try and reveal the secrets that has led to their success. I believe that with the right knowledge and mindset, you can do anything you set your mind to. So if you want to learn how to change your life for the better, if you want to learn how millionaires actually became wealthy, or if you want to develop and start your own business from the ground up with the right knowledge to help you, then you are in the right place because this is the Willpower Podcast. No way that we go is a one-way street. Nothing that we love is a one-day key. And if we gon' do it, we gon' do this now. And if we say we gonna, we gon' hold this. How's it going, everyone? My name is Will Holdren. I am the host of the Willpower Podcast. Today we have an incredible individual and also an incredible entrepreneur, and his name is Ken Rusk. And Ken is actually a best-selling author of a book called Blue Collar Cash. On top of that, he's a blue-collar advocate, and he was, in fact, featured in Forbes and New York Times and many other highly, highly registered magazines like that. On top of that, he's also a multiple business owner, and he has multiple revenue streams, and he spends a lot of his time specializing in coaching young adults, which I think is super important, granted what's going on in today's environment and today's economy. And so with that being said, first and foremost, Ken, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Will. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. And so I'm going to start my podcast off by asking you a question I pretty much ask all of my guests. But that question is, why do you spend your time? I know how busy you are going on podcasts like these and really trying to share your story for those that want to listen to it.
Well, you know, as you become more experienced in business and hopefully more successful in business, you know, there's a lot of times in your career where you go, man, I wish I'd have known that. Or, man, I wish somebody would have told me that. And sometimes those lessons are easy to learn and they don't cost you any money and they're not expensive lessons at all. And other times they could be, or you could be missing out on some, you know, nugget of knowledge that you wish you had that would have either cut your learning curve way down or would have made your company more efficient or more profitable or more successful, whatever. So when you get to that point and you say to yourself, okay, I've done some really cool things in my life and I've been very successful and I'm very blessed and I'm very grateful for that. And I think we all have to be grateful for everything that we have. So I think you turn around at some point and you say, how can I shorten the learning curve for all those people that are following behind me to help them live better lives? And I really believe that it's incumbent upon all of us. You know, the old saying goes, to whom much is given, much is expected, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's important for all of us to turn around and say, how can I help the next guy or the next gal fire up their company and you know, take it to levels they never dreamed of?
Yeah. And that's so important. And what I love about you too is that you really focus on young adults, right? And helping them get off the right foot in their own journey of life, their own journey of business, which is so important today. Like you said, finding that mentorship really can just elevate someone's game. And so I want to jump right into it. You mentioned your book is called Blue Collar Cash. You're obviously a blue collar advocate. And so a lot of your premise, right, is that you don't need a college degree to become successful, right? Especially in today's world, there's so many other avenues you can go down to become successful, to not start off life with a ton of debt, you know, even going through college. But, you know, in your own experience, why is that your niche? Why is that kind of where you're focusing your attention? And what are you trying to get of, you know, helping people early on in that stage of life?
Well, that's a great question. First off, you've never needed a college degree to be successful. I mean, if you look at the back of my book, you're going to see some of the most amazing people that you've ever heard of who don't have college degrees. People like Bill Gates, for example. Okay. There are amazing human beings out there that have changed the world who some of them never even finished high school. And the point is, what they had in common is they all use the visual side of their brain, which is something that people just don't teach in high school. They don't teach it. I mean, I don't know if they don't want to teach it or if they don't know how to teach it. Yeah. But these are all people that had grand visions. And that's what I've done my whole life. So, I mean, when you think about using the visual side of your brain, it's free, requires no training. And yeah, I mean, you could just jump in, start using it and have things come into your life that you focus on. The thing about college is this. So when I was in high school, there was a thing called shop class. And people accidentally discovered, walking down the hallway, wow, how cool it is to build a table out of wood or how cool it is to change a transmission on a Mustang. Maybe I might do that for a living, and then all of a sudden I might have a whole shop to myself, and then I might have 10 employees, and then I might have 50 shops around the country. All those people started the same way, by getting their hands dirty, right? So what happens is they kicked shop class out of high school for reasons that nobody can explain to this day. And they filled those rooms with computers. Well, that's fine. But why did we have to have one or the other? I mean, why couldn't we have had both of those things, right?
Right.
Especially since computers are used so much in blue collar jobs today. So what happens is you eliminated that accidental discovery of millions of kids into a blue collar trade or career. And then what happens is you got kids now, instead of running around the backyard, building a tree fort or fixing a bicycle or raking some mulch in a garden bed or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they're playing with these cell phones and they're creating, you know, whole cities on Minecraft. Well, that is not the same experience, Will. It is not.
I get it.
And I don't care how good your city is, it's not the same experience of going out and learning some of these tools. So that was the second strike. The third strike, in what I call the perfect storm, is colleges, they're really good at taking your money and not giving one red care about you after college is over.
Yeah.
I mean, they're looking for the next student. They're looking for the next, you know, just look at their orientations. Their orientations are these amazing, unbelievable things, but their transitions out of college are like nothing. And so it's crazy to me, because they're now to the point where they're shaming students, they're shaming teachers, and they're shaming parents into, if you don't come through us, your kid's going to be a loser. That is such a lie. It's never been true. It certainly isn't true now.
Yeah.
Because to this day, half the country still works with their hands. I mean, 50% of the country does something with these two things. I'm pointing to my hands now. And so, you know, because of the fact that they've been successful at making you think if you don't go to college, you're going to be a nobody, we have a supply and demand problem now. And that's a great thing for those who are willing to take that risk, because, man, if you want to be a carpenter, a plumber, electrician, or a welder right now, you can write your own ticket. Okay. Yeah. Six figures is real close by. And that's the real secret to why I'm doing this.
Yeah. That's a great take. And I think you said a lot of really important things I kind of want to touch back up on. So the first thing was, obviously, like you mentioned, colleges are really shaming kids, where if you don't go to college, it's really a feeling in the mind like, man, I won't be successful. I'm more on top of that, I'm going to be looked down upon by my peers and my parents' peers. And me personally, I think I'm a younger person as well, so I can definitely see that revelation happen with a lot of kids. And, you know, maybe a blue collar job isn't for everyone, but college also is not for everyone, right? I think
right.
That's a lot of people being forced into college without really knowing what they want to do. And like you're talking about, the orientation looks great. And outside of that, you just get a lot of debt and you're still not really happy with what career path you want to go down. So I'm kind of curious, how do you open up people's minds and help them use that visual side of the mind? It even talks to the parents, because it's tough having that conversation with your parent if they also want to push you to go to college, right? But how do you convey that message to that kid to say, listen, you're not going to be looked down upon, right? If you don't go to college, it doesn't matter what your parents' peers think about you if you're not an engineer or you're not a doctor, right? How do you convey those conversations with kids?
Well, first off, let's give college their report card, okay? They all love to see your ACT scores, right? And your SAT scores.
Yeah.
And they love to grade you, so let's grade them, okay? Here's the facts. 40% of kids go into college with absolutely no idea why they're going there. Inefficiency number one.
Yeah.
Very expensive inefficiency. The next inefficiency is 25% of those kids, once they settle on a degree, end up changing that degree in the first 2 years.
Yep.
Horrible efficiency number two. Number three, and this is the worst one, colleges will never tell you this. Only 35% of college degrees are ever used ever in your lifetime. So imagine that report card. It is a D plus, C minus at best. Okay. And colleges don't care.
Yep.
I mean, again, I'm not anti-college, because if you're going to operate on my shoulder so I can get back out on the golf course, I want you as a surgeon to know everything there is with a knife before you come at me with it. Trust me.
Right.
Or if you're going to manage my money, or if you're going to teach me something, or if you're going to build a building or engineer something, you got to go. You got to learn that this specific task for which you're learning that education, right? So you'll get that specific job when it's waiting for you when you're done with that school. It's you know, doctors, med school, doctor, right? It's a path specific. Yeah. But if two-thirds of degrees, very expensive degrees, by the way, are never used, how good is that college? I mean, think about it. So they don't necessarily have any skin in the game as to what you get for your money. They'll let you learn English translation in Bosnia, okay? Which, how are you going to use that degree, okay? They'll let you learn, like,
right,
study the poets, okay, from the 15th century. Okay, great. But how are you ever going to use that, right,
yeah,
to make a living? So, yeah, the first thing you have to do is you have to tell parents and students a college that the colleges have a terrible report card, okay? Second thing you have to tell them is 50% of the country does something with their hands, and therefore 50% of the country should never go to college. Or... Yeah.
Right.
Or the roads won't work, the bridges won't work, the streetlights won't work, your sewers won't, I mean, all the things that you rely upon when you go to a big box hardware store.
Yeah.
None of that stuff will be there, okay?
Nope.
So if you think about the relationship of that, and then the other thing is this, I wrote an open letter to all parents. It's on my website at kenrusk.com. And one of the things that I said was, I get it. You birthed your child. You fed your child, you clothed your child, you raised your child, you taught them what you could teach them. And now you think that the only way that you can be called a successful parent is if that kid has a degree on their wall. Never been true in the history of this world. So,
yeah,
what I would say is, I would rather have you focus as a parent on, can my kid solve problems? Can my son or daughter manage money? Can my son or daughter use the visual side of their brain to figure out how to change a hope, a wish, or a dream and make it a reality, like a path to that? Can my son or daughter look back at me and say, you know what? I have a vision for my future. And now that I have that, I'm going to pick one of the 100 different ways there are to get after that vision. Because I'll let you in a little secret. I've been very successful. And again, I'm very blessed and I'm very grateful. Was I lucky? Yeah, but the harder I worked, the luckier I got. But nobody ever rolled up in my driveway and saw what I've accomplished, okay? And saw what I've done or how I live and said, wow, dude, what degree do you have? That's never happened. They ask me, well, hey, how did you grind this life out? I'm happy to tell them that story.
Right.
But it's not a mutually exclusive thing or inclusive thing that degree equals success, because that just isn't true.
Yeah, it's definitely not true. And you know, I've interviewed a lot of people on my podcast as well, and majority of them also don't have a college degree. You know, and they're successful entrepreneurs in their own realm, no matter what that is. But a lot of them dropped out of college or just didn't go altogether. So it's a pretty interesting statistic. And so I want to jump to your story here a little bit. So what has been your background, you know, growing up blue collar, and when did you eventually make that transition to being your own business owner and eventually becoming, you know, a coach for younger people?
So when I was 15, I had already, by the time I was 15, I already had about 4 or 5 part-time jobs, bakery, bowling alley, paper route, all that stuff. And I did, because my father had 5 boys in a very small house. My mother and father, he was a Marine, and he could provide for what he could provide for. I mean, you know, he kept the roof over our heads, kept us fed, which was hard to do on $14,000 a year. And yeah, we made it through. But if we wanted something beyond what he could provide, we had to go get it. Like, maybe we found an old baseball bat, but if I wanted one of those new aluminum bats, I had to go find the $30 I needed to buy that thing, right?
Right.
So I went out and got jobs in order to make that happen. So when I was 15, I thought, it's time I get a real full-time job. And what I did was, my high school shared a fence with an industrial park. And there was a hole in that fence that we would cut through after school so we could go to the carryout and just hang out. And this industrial park was always bustling with energy and people and activity and grown up, you know, Tonka toys, right? Yeah. And so I walked into this one place. I knew someone that had worked there, and I said, "What do you guys do here?" And they said, "We dig ditches." And I said, "Well, I am wholly qualified to do that." Okay. So I started actually making phone calls because it was still winter. And I worked in the office in the winter, and I worked in the digging ditches in the summertime. And so I learned the front and the back of the house, if you will. So when it came time for me to be 18, 19, what am I going to do? They came to me and they said, "Hey, our company's growing so big, we want to open branch offices or franchises. And we're going to start doing this from scratch. We want you to go out and do it." So at 18, I lived out of a suitcase in Columbus and Cincinnati and Chicago and Pittsburgh. And we opened up these franchises and we did them from scratch. I mean, I literally walked into an empty shell of a building and had to build out the whole infrastructure and then fill it up with people and then wow. technology, like, you know, phone systems and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So when the business was up and running, I'd move on to the next one. And I got tired of doing that after 3 or 4 years, because you're living in a suitcase, you're out of town a lot, and you know, Monday through Sunday or Monday through Friday is not the best thing to do, to be out of town all the time. So I finally, in 1986, I opened up my own office in Toledo, Ohio. We started with 6 people, and I think we have 220 some people today. So wow. Yeah, it's been a hell of a ride.
That's fantastic. And I love that come up, right? And one of the things I want to touch on is that at 18 years old, right, you were the one going out there living out of a suitcase, right? And you were doing that for a long period of time. I think today, especially younger adults, they have their whole perception skewed, right? They're thinking that when I turn 21, early 20s, whatever it is, I'm going to have fun, enjoy life as much as I possibly can, right? And really, it doesn't happen that way. You can really set yourself up backwards. Rather, if you take your time serious in your early 20s and really dedicate yourself to your craft like you were doing, and really just make those sacrifices and just put yourself in a position to win down the road. And so I think that's such an important lesson to note in your story.
Yeah, I you know, again, if you can get somebody, and this is important for people that want to start their own business, you know, you start your own company and you surround yourself with people. And your first goal is to do nothing. And what I mean by that is your first goal is to position yourself so you can float above the company and look back down and see what needs, you know, adjusted, fixed, driven, moved, motivated, you know, changed or whatever. Yeah. And so you try to surround yourself with entrepreneurial people, not entrepreneurial people, because some people, like if I'm the entrepreneur, I have to go borrow money to buy 42 dump trucks, which is what I've done. But there are people that want to feel like they own the company, but they don't want to take all that risk, but they enjoy what they do. So you surround yourself with those kind of people who are running their own divisions within your company and benefiting from that, right? So we call them entrepreneurial people. And, you know, the great part about that is anybody can be that person, okay? Anybody can be that person. We all possess the characteristics that you need. Like in my book, I talk about it. Persistence, resilience, humility, faith, courage, vision, initiative, all these kinds of things, and generosity. And we all possess these things. We just need a reason why. And that's the point that I'm getting to. So if you start out, a lot of times, Will, you'll hear people say, "Man, if I go to high school and if I get good grades and if I get a scholarship and then if I go to college, and then if I get a degree, and then if I get a good paying job, well, then I can start living my life." Wrong. You need to start out with what the then is first. You need to focus on what the then looks like, because once you have that drawn out really crystal clearly, and I'm talking about everything in detail, you need to build the brochure that is your life. Once you have that drawn out and put and hanging on the wall somewhere where you can see it twice a day, there are a million ways to go get that particular life. And by the way, it's the life you want for yourself. That's the ultimate goal, not a degree or an apprenticeship or whatever. It's not so important to me what you do for a living as it is what you do with what you do for a living, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So living well is obviously the best revenge. That's where that whole saying came from. And you know, all I can say is if you can teach people or if you can learn to use the visual side of your brain, a whole slew of possibilities opens up that you never thought of before.
Yeah. And to your point, the end goal should be achieving that freedom, right? Just like you're talking about finding entrepreneurs that you can fit into your company to fill those roles. So you don't have to do that. So you can have more time freedom in your life, right? Because ultimately that's what matters, right? Having time freedom to spend time with your family, other stuff like that. And so I want to jump back in. So when you were building up these franchises, right, how long did it normally take for you to be the one completely outside of the business where it didn't really take much effort from you to help run that business? How long did that process normally take?
Well, from you know, putting up the first, you know, metal studs, which were brand new back then or newish, about 6 months it would take. We'd build it out. Once it was built, then we'd fill it with people. We'd fill it with, you know, like I said, phones. There wasn't much computer systems back then either. I mean, they weren't really super popular running businesses, but you filled it full of people, you fill it full of materials, you fill it full of supplies, and then you bought a couple of trucks, and then you hired the staff, and you hired the marketers to go out and do their thing. And then once that business was actually functioning, then I would move on to the next one. And that was usually about 6 months. And gotcha. I would move on to the next office.
Yeah. Seems like a very, very productive time frame. And so a lot of people listening to this, I might seem like, okay, it seems like it's going to be relatively easy, get a blue collar job starting out, learn what I need to learn, and then go out there and start my own business. Right? But there's a big transition when you jump into being your own business owner and being the one running the company, then instead of the one working inside the company. And so from your experience, what was the biggest hiccups for you transitioning to the more business owner side? And what was the scariest moments that you've had in your career, you know, being on the business owner side of things and saying like, man, I don't know if it's going to work or not. Or do you not have?
Well, a couple things. And this is the silver lining part of this camera of this question. That's a great question. So it's always scary when you move to a new town and you have $50,000 in your hand that you borrowed from a bank and you said, okay, we've got 60 days to make this work or else we're going to run out of money and then we're screwed, right?
Right.
So that's the scary part. But that's also the beautiful part of it, because there's a motivating thing there, because, you know, maybe you borrowed it down to 42,000, but then you made some money and then you put it back up to 46,000 and then you borrowed 10,000 more and then you're down to, you know, 36,000, but then you made 5 or 6,000. So you're back up to 42. So that game was fun to play because we were out earning our nemesis, which was the bank loan. Okay.
Yeah.
And that was kind of fun. I think the silver lining part is when you go to build a business, you know, you get to control your input. You get to control your output. You control the quality of that output. You control your day, your time, your schedule. And ultimately, you control your financial gain. And nowhere else in white collar worlds can you do that, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. Unless someone hires you as an entrepreneur and then you get to run all that.
Right.
But you're pretty much controlling your entire day, your schedule, your time, and everything. And that's the beautiful part about running your own company, because so many people aren't willing to do it. And yet, if you look at what supply and demand does, it creates opportunities where supply is low and demand is high. That's where the money goes. And now what you're seeing is, I mean, you can go into any Lowe's or Home Depot right now, Will. Go to the contractor desk and do two things. Ask two questions. Number one, can I look at the contractor business card board? And you'll look and you'll see a big board and it'll have all these business cards on there. You'll notice there might be a lot of painters, but there's no welders. There's a lot of electricians, but there's no carpenters. There's a lot of this, but not that. So you just look for what's missing on the board. It's as simple as that. And that wasn't around when I was a kid. I didn't have that opportunity. I didn't have the internet. I couldn't Google search carpenters in Delaware. I mean, I couldn't do it. So if you go to the contractor desk, and by the way, Lowe's and Home Depot's, those weren't even around back then. So if you go to the contractor desk and talk to the guys there, you would say, hey guys, what's missing in this town? Like what are people not doing that you need? And they'll say, oh man, we could use a lot more of X, or we could use a lot more of Y. And trust me, running this company, it's funny because I run a company full of ditch diggers, of which I am or was one, right? But I could switch tomorrow and run a company full of electricians, or I could switch tomorrow and run a company full of plumbers, or I could switch tomorrow and run a company full of welders. I mean, as long as you have their expertise there, you can manage these people, right? And it's fantastic and it's fun and everybody wins. So it really doesn't, and that's why I say it really doesn't matter what you do for a living as much as it matters what you do with what you do for a living. So it's never been easier to own your own company, okay? With a cell phone and a pickup truck, you can do way more than I could do when I started, because I had to use long form graph paper with pencils and add column numbers and do it the old fashioned way with a calculator. And yeah, that's just how it was. And we didn't know any better, right? But now you can run payroll, accounts receivable, accounts payable. You can run your accounting. You can do everything out of these cell phone apps right from your pickup truck. So the barrier to entry has never been lower, and the demand has never been higher.
Yeah. And it's just finding that niche, right, for your area and just growing from there. And so how are you able to find your expertise, right, of running these major companies with no business college degree, right? So I love touching on that. So how is that just from experience, or do you have mentors in your life as well that helped you out, or how did you gain that knowledge in the area? Because it's not easy to learn, wear all these hats as a business owner, right? So how are you able to comprehend that stuff?
Well, yeah. And again, this is also the good news. So right now, there are thousands of small businesses whose owners have nobody to give them to or to pass them down to. It's crazy. There's probably six or seven businesses that I know in Toledo right now that I know about, friends of mine, stonemason, floor tile guy, carpenter guy, a guy that builds outdoor kitchens, landscaping guy, parking lot, concrete guy. They have nobody to leave these companies to. Now, if you're a bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, 19-year-old guy or girl, and you want to say to yourself, I want to own one of these companies, you just go to work for these people. You watch what they do. You work there for 5 years. I mean, it's the same length as a college degree, right?
Right.
You can master anything in 10,000 hours, right? So you just work for these people and you watch them, and you either then, at the five-year mark, you go out and start your own business based on what they did right and what they did wrong. Or you just say to them, hey, look it, what if I retire you someday? And then you hand this business off to me. There are people that would salivate to do that because they're making $200,000-$300,000 a year and they have no one to give these companies to. It's the craziest thing in the world.
Right.
So again, if I went up to someone in your generation and I said, hey, if I guaranteed you that in 5 years you could be making $150,000, $200,000 or more, $1,000 a year and running your own show, would you be interested in that? Of course they would. Or if I said, hey, you could go out and spend $250,000 on a $50,000 a year college degree taking that fifth year. And now you come out and you have all that debt and you're not sure what you're going to use that degree for. What would you do? I mean, what's the choice you would make there? In my mind, that's a $500,000 swing from the negative side of your asset base to the positive side of your asset base, right?
Yeah.
And yet, again, I'm not anti-college. I'm just telling people, just take a look at all of your options. Don't follow the cows. Don't follow the herd that's just rustling you into the, into the whatever you call it, the cattle bin of college. Just don't automatically do it. At least look around. Take some time before you jump in that quagmire. It could be good, but it may not be. And it's expensive to learn that lesson.
Yeah. And it is very expensive to learn that lesson. But like you said, you got to analyze your life where you want to go. Right. And I think that idea of joining and working for someone for 5 years is such a great opportunity. Like you said, there's a lot of opportunity out there to go out there and do that too, where eventually you can be the one taking over the business, And I think one of the issues with our generation or my generation specifically is that we want everything instant gratification. Right. So that idea of waiting 5 years, it does not sit well for some reason. When in reality though, it's not that bad, right? I mean, 5 years.
Well, I mean, I suppose that if you invent the next super widget, or if you are the next super influencer, or you come up with nail polish that nobody else has or something, I don't know, that you can create instant success. But even the people that are successful, you go back and look at them, they probably weren't really rolling in it until the third or fourth or fifth year. I don't care how hot some product was. When you start to build that product and you get huge demand for it, you have to build infrastructure to supply all that. That costs money. Yeah. And you have to borrow that money. Unless you got some rich uncle who's just going to give you that money, you have to set that infrastructure up. And then and only then, after 4 or 5 years, is it worth it? I mean, if you think about it, even the biggest companies in the world, Uber, Facebook, a lot of these, you know, Twitter, all these companies, they weren't profitable for a very long time.
Yeah.
Okay. And they had, their CEOs were worth paper money. Yeah. But they couldn't sell that. You know, they couldn't go out and just sell it. So you have to be careful about the get rich quick thing, because it's a double-edged sword. Now, on the other side of the scale, slow, consistent, but, you know, dependable, predictable growth, I'll take that all day long, because in that case, my backstop isn't too far. I didn't borrow a ton of money. Yeah. And I can live my life along the way.
Yeah. And just making that slow, constant headway. You know, that's what it's all about. Not stopping, just keeping going slowly and steadily until eventually, boom, you got it.
Exactly.
So before we run out of time, I just got a couple more questions for you. So one, your book, Blue Collar Cash, where can people go to find your book?
Well, you go to kenrusk.com, and it's got all the buy buttons there. I mean, Amazon and all the buttons that you would look to buy it. I also did something. I built a course, and compared to college, it's free. It's $179. You get a free $25 book with it. So for basically a long weekend of dinners and movies, you could take this course. And the reason I did, Will, is because so many books that they call self-help books really become shelf help books. I heard that the other day. I thought it was cute. Because you read them and you never put anything into practice. You know, hey, what did that? Hey, that, oh, that book I read, it was great. But what did you do with it? Well, I don't know. I didn't really put anything in practice in my life, but I read the book. It was cool. So I wanted to force you, once you read my book, to change your life, like today, not next week or next month, like now, this afternoon. So I built this course. It's 8 sessions. It's 45 minutes a session. And when you're done, I guarantee you, you will 100% think differently about your life. And you will say, wow, my life is in my control. It's not in anybody else's control. So I'm going to stop listening to all the geniuses out there, and I'm going to throw my world the way I want to throw it. Okay. I'm going to design this life the way I see it.
Right.
Me and only me knows what my favorite color is, my favorite car is, my favorite pet is, my favorite house might be, my favorite vacation might look like, my favorite charity might look like, or my hobbies, my sports, whatever. Why am I allowing other people to influence that? So that's what this does. It teaches you how to use the free side of your brain to vision your future. And it's guaranteed. I mean, it will change the way you look at your life. There's no doubt about it.
That's awesome.
And that's on the website as well.
Very cool. So kenrusk.com to find the course and the book. Also, you mentioned the book will also be on Amazon. So before we hop off, is there anything else that you'd like to say? And if people want to reach out to you, how can they go about doing that and getting in contact with you?
Well, obviously you can catch me at kenrusk.com. Send me a message there. I'm on all the socials, but I actually push people through the website and then they can get to the socials. I mean, it's at Ken Rusk Official. You can see what I'm doing and talking about there as well. But all I would say is that for all the young people out there, you may not have been given the best advice so far in your life. You might have been given some advice that was either biased or tainted or just flat out wrong. So just take a second, look back on what's happening, on what has happened, see who's the one who benefits from all the advice you've gotten so far.
Right.
Be wary of that. And then start to plan, design, and draw the life that you see you want how you want it for yourself. Because only you know that. And then again, there's a million ways to go do it. And that's what this book teaches you. I hope you pick it up and read it. So I'd love to hear your feedback on that.
Awesome. All right, guys, there you have it. Ken Rusk, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome. Yeah. No way that we go is a one-way street. Nothing that we owe.